Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, years ago, my wife and I used to watch a lot of CSI Las Vegas. And if you've ever seen an episode, you know how the basic plot goes. The neighbors hear some strange sounds from next door. They call in the cops. And the cops arrive and they sweep the house and everything seems normal. But then the CSI team arrives. They snap on their rubber gloves. They shine their flashlights around the kitchen. The homeowner grins. Ah, no big deal. See, the kitchen is clean. No crime here. But then the lead investigator, and it's usually Gil Grissom. He's got a nice white beard. Gil Grissom motions to one of the officers, turn off the light. And the room goes black. And Grissom flicks on a black light and waves it around like a wand around the room. And the entire kitchen lights up with white splatter, blood residue everywhere. Grissom shakes his head. This is a crime scene. And in the subsequent montage, Grissom explains how the homeowner tried to cover up the crime. They got out the mop and they swirled the blood on the tile floor. They scrubbed the counter and ran the knife through the dishwasher. They invited friends over to show off the sparkling kitchen. See, everything's normal. But it wasn't. Well, in our epistle reading this morning, there are Ephesian Christians trying to minimize their sin. They get out the mop and they swirl away the blood on the tile floor. They scrub the counter and they run the knife through the dishwasher. And when guests come over, guests like St. Paul, they show off the sparkling kitchen of their lives. See, sin isn't a big deal. It's natural and normal. There's no crime here. In the Ephesian context, sexual sins were prevalent. Not only was cultic prostitution a regular occurrence at the temples, but Greco-Roman society assumed that sexual activity outside of marriage was normal, especially for men, high-class men. The words of the Greek statesman Demosthenes reflected common opinion. Mistresses we keep for the sake of pleasure, concubines for the daily care of our persons, but wives to bear us legitimate children and to be faithful guardians of our households. And so some Ephesian believers minimized sin, especially sexual sin. It's not a big deal. Look, the kitchen is clean. No crime here. And sisters and brothers, so often we say the same thing. It's not a big deal. Look, the kitchen is clean. No crime here. Maybe like the Ephesians, we follow our own culture in minimizing sexual sins. Maybe we roll our eyes at traditional prudishness. The church is obsessed with sex. Good grief, it's not a big deal. Or maybe it's another kind of sin. Maybe in our lives we mop and swirl away the blood of our envious greed. It's normal to covet. Look, there's no blood here. Or maybe we have excuses for our relentless bitterness. Can you blame me? Of course I'm this way. It's not a big deal, it's normal. It's not a crime. But the truth is that all of our sins, including sexual sins, are crimes against love. Notice how St. Paul sets up his discussion in our epistle reading. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But fornication, in all impurity or covetousness, greediness, must not even be named among you, as is fitting among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor silly talk, nor levity, which are not fitting, no coarse jokes, but instead let there be thanksgiving. The actions that we in the Ephesians try to cover up are crimes against love. They are the opposite of self-giving sacrifice, the opposite of the cross, the opposite of loving people for their own sakes, loving them for who they are and not for what they can give us. All sins are crimes against love. In human-to-human interactions, sin protects our egos, our needy compulsiveness. We either fight against or feed on people to give us pleasure, to give us security, to relieve our anxiety. To put it simply, we don't love them. We don't love them. We use them in the worship of our own twisted selves, our own idols, and we attack others in the kitchen with a knife, so to speak. And this is why the apostle warns us with blunt words. Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure man or one who is covetous, greedy, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. God is love. God is love, and he fights against those who despise love. Think of our Old Testament reading. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love. Love. And that's why we clean up the crime scene. Because deep down we know that our sins are crimes against love. It's not a big deal. Look, the kitchen's clean. But this morning, CSI arrives on the scene. Jesus Christ strides into the kitchen of our lives. He snaps on his rubber gloves and he shines the flashlight over the tiles. Not a drop of blood to be seen. And we're congratulating ourselves. See, even Jesus can't find anything wrong here. It's all good, no crime. Wait, says the Lord, wait, turn off the light. And St. Paul obliges, and the kitchen goes black, and Jesus flicks on a black light, the black light of our baptisms, and he waves it like a wand around the kitchen, and our entire kitchen room lights up with white splatter, blood residue everywhere. And Jesus shakes his head. This is a crime scene. See how bad this is? This is deadly to your life. This is deadly to the lives of other people. You are using people for your own compulsive, needy ego. And you need to repent. St. Paul writes, "For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it is said, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." This morning, Jesus shines a black light over our kitchen lives. And he exposes our crimes against love. And he does it out of love. Because Jesus knows that crimes multiply. The obsessive patterns increase. In our gospel reading, Jesus points out how the tempting demons can multiply sevenfold, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Jesus calls us to the hard work of repentance here in the season of Lent because he loves us. "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it," he says. And he calls us to stop our crimes against love.
He shines the black light over who we are so that we can learn to be free. Free of our self-protecting egos. People don't have to be something that you gobble up or fight. They can be persons whom you love without an agenda. Sisters and brothers, what sins are you minimizing in your life right now? Oh, it's not a big deal. Look, there's no blood here in the kitchen. Maybe it is a sexual sin. Maybe it's something deeper manifesting as a sexual sin. Sometimes people obsess over more outward sins so that they don't have to deal with deeper realities, deeper sins. Maybe it's a money sin. Maybe it's bitterness. Whatever it is, Jesus shows it for what it is this morning. And he calls you to love. To love. To the freedom of love. And he's shining that black light of your baptism. The ancients would always call baptism an illumination, a lighting up. He shines that over you and lets you know that you can be free. You don't have to protect that needy ego anymore. You are free to love God, and love other people. And that is good news. That is the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.